Music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. Auto workers accept a new national contract with the Ford Motor Company, but not all will be going back to work immediately. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The United Auto Workers rank and file has voted to ratify the Ford contract. There was a possibility skilled tradesmen in the union could block acceptance, but they too voted approval, although only by a slim margin. Some workers will go back to the job as soon as the company calls them in. Others will remain out as some local disputes remain unsettled. A total of 170,000 UAW members have been on strike in 22 states for a month now. This new contract gives workers more time off with pay, 6 additional days next year, 7 the year after that. The UAW will be using the Ford contract as a pattern in dealings with the other automakers. More news after this.
For 125 of America's 200 years, the YMCA has been in the people business. And it speaks to we the people in many voices. In sports. The Y invented basketball and volleyball, too. It pioneered in camping and in adult education. Today, it has cardiovascular health programs, parent-child programs, programs for troubled kids. And the Y pioneered in aquatics.
I learned to swim at the Y.
So did I.
And at Y Camp, I had a lot of fun and learned how to get along with other kids.
Me too.
And the Y speaks to us in many languages. Today, the Y is in 86 countries, helping people in many ways.
From youth work to summer camp, from work with our armed forces to teenage problems, the Y is there to help.
So join the Y. It's in the people business.
The nationwide swine flu vaccination program has run into trouble. Several elderly people have died after getting their shots, 3 in Pittsburgh, 2 in Oklahoma City, and 1 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Health officials say there's no connection between the deaths and the swine flu vaccine. Still, vaccination programs in several states have been suspended. Officials in others have altered their programs, putting some batches of vaccine back in storage. But Stafford Smith of the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta says there's no basis for alarm.
In the age groups that we've been dealing with, a certain number of deaths can be expected every day. And when they occur close to the time that the person's been vaccinated, that does raise questions in the mind of the public. But the vaccine itself is a highly refined vaccine and very thoroughly tested.
President Ford Tuesday made his first campaign appearances outside Washington since his campaign manager, James Baker, a few days ago, promised a more aggressive candidate. White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports on the president's speech to a GOP fundraiser in New York.
At first, there was a rather weird defensive quality about President Ford's appearance here tonight. Vice President Rockefeller talked about how much the president had done to help New York City out of its financial troubles last year, though in fact, Mr. Ford originally opposed such help. Then the president got up to deliver flowery phrases of praise for Nelson Rockefeller, whom he virtually deposed from office. But after that strange start, the president took off after Jimmy Carter.
What I'm actually doing is playing hide and seek. I'm looking all over trying to find the candidate who used to run around the country saying, I'll never lie to you.
Mr. Ford added, one thing is clear, Mr. Carter wants to be president, whatever he has to say to get there. The partisan crowd loved that kind of talk, as the president predicted he will win New York's 41 electoral votes November 2nd. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, New York City.
Jimmy Carter is resting at home in Plains, Georgia, after 8 days of campaigning in the West and Midwest. His press office is releasing statements, but Carter says he won't talk to anyone but his family during this two-day respite. More news after this.
Can anybody here tell me how
to... Oh, that's easy.
No problem. But you haven't heard what I was...
Oh, it doesn't matter. Just flip through your free consumer information catalog.
You'll find a list of government publications that tell you how to. Could you give me a couple of...
Sure. How to budget and manage your money.
How to buy a used car.
How to grow vegetables in tiny gardens.
How to buy the right food.
And a lot of other how-tos.
Well, how much does...
The catalog's free from the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. General Services Administration.
It lists more than 200 booklets and brochures you can send for, and most of them are free, too.
And how do you...
Easy. For your free catalog, write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Would you mind repeating
right me? After the music.
Ready, folks? Hit it.
A free catalog that tells you how to learn happy facts and be a happier you.
Write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Gee, it was nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Glad to.
Celebrations in Cincinnati over the Reds' National League pennant victory turned violent Tuesday. Police have made some 30 arrests. They say two people have been shot, a third stabbed. The Reds are going to the World Series for the second year in a row. They beat the Phillies in three straight in the National League playoffs that wound up today. In the American League, the Yankees can wrap it up tomorrow afternoon. In a Tuesday night game in New York, the Yanks beat Kansas City 5-3 and now lead 2-1. The World Series starts Saturday. David Jackson, CBS News.
KIXI is Seattle. Briefly in other sports, in an NBA exhibition game, the New York Nets defeated the New York Knicks 119-107. In the World Hockey Association, it was Quebec 6, San Diego 4, Birmingham over Calgary by a score of 6-2. In the National Hockey League, the Islanders defeated Atlanta 7-0 and Montreal 4, Detroit 2. The weather outlook, fair tonight and tomorrow except for morning fog. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow night with increasing chance of rain on Thursday. Highs upper 60 tomorrow, mid-60s on Thursday, and the lows about 50. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 56 degrees. The barometer is falling. It reads 30.20.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I am the wound and the knife. I am the blow and the cheek. I am the victim and the executioner. And thus, we become the things we do. The flame consumes the wood and dies. And too late does the killer discover that the life he takes, in the end, is his own.
What am I doing here?
You heard me call you.
How could I hear you? I live miles away.
No, you live here, in my heart, in my soul.
What are you saying?
You came because I needed you.
You need me?
I need you. I worship you. You're a goddess.
Oh, no. I'm just a typist.
You're a goddess. You created the world. And all of us who are in it.
What do you want?
I want to worship you, live for you, die for you, even kill for you.
Our mystery drama, The God Killers, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Tammy Grimes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Buy a Buick Opel anytime and you get a sensational little car. One that's comfortable, fun to drive, built by Isuzu, and equipped with things like a four-cylinder overhead cam Hemi engine, a short-throw four-speed manual transmission, plus reclining bucket seats, tinted glass, and rack and pinion steering. But for those of you who buy one between now and October 31st, there's a special offer that goes with it. Buick will reimburse you for 200 gallons of gasoline. And with 200 gallons of gas in a new Opel, you can do a lot of driving. Of course, your mileage may vary, but at the estimated EPA city mileage alone of 23 miles per gallon, that's 4,600 miles. And on the highway, Opel's EPA estimate is 36 miles per gallon. Not bad, hmm? The Buick Opel gas offer. See your Buick Opel dealer soon for details and make your best deal. You'll get a great little car that gives you what you pay for and 200 gallons of gas from Buick. In California, EPA estimates are lower.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The prophet Daniel praised God for the gift of interpreting dreams. May the name of God be blessed forever and ever, since wisdom and power are His alone, His to control the processions of times and seasons, to make and unmake kings, to confer wisdom on the wise, and knowledge on those with wit to discern, His to uncover depths and mysteries, and to know what lies in darkness, and light dwells within Him. Daniel was favored by King Nebuchadnezzar for his wisdom and truth, and his ability to interpret the mysteries of the king's dreams. For your free booklet on dreams and visions, write to the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Vanity of vanities, we are told. All is vanity, and a searching after wind. True. And yet, just a little vanity? Can it be so bad? Don't we need it to add a bit of piquance to life? Especially women. Who would give a woman a second look if she didn't have just a touch of vanity? Ursula Underwood has no vanity at all. Zero. And the result is, no one has ever given her a first look. Ursula, at 40, who doesn't think to hide the approaching gray in her hair, whose lips have always been innocent of lipstick, shy, quiet, and self-effacing Ursula Underwood. But here she is, suddenly a center of attraction, literally in the spotlight, surrounded by eager, impatient, anxious men. How did this happen? Well, she's been accused of murder.
Okay, Miss Underwood, you better come clean.
I didn't do it.
Make it easy on yourself.
I didn't do it.
Where'd you get the knife? Why'd you kill him?
I didn't do it.
We know you killed him.
He was going to fire you. You had the motive.
Wasn't he going to marry someone else?
You're jealous. That's why you killed him.
You picked up that knife and you killed him. Confess. We know what happened.
I didn't kill him. I swear to you, I didn't kill him.
All right, Joe, Larry, take a break. I'll handle it.
Oh, okay, Lieutenant. She's all yours.
Miss Underwood, please, listen. My name is Lieutenant Barney Chostakovich.
I didn't do it.
I assure you that you will feel better if you tell us the truth.
I didn't do it.
My advice to you is confess. Just confess you killed Mr. Alistair Pollister. You'll feel better. You know, confession lifts the weight off of your soul.
I didn't do it.
Miss Underwood, can we set some ground rules? Just don't keep saying you didn't do it.
Lieutenant Chostakovich, I tell you I didn't do it.
Please, I want to help you.
You want to help me? Why don't you confess? What you want is another scalp for your belt, another notch in your gun. If I confess, will you become Captain Chostakovich?
Probably.
So the truth is, you want to help yourself.
No, I want to help both of us.
Please, leave me alone.
I would, if you were a professional killer. Then they could just, you know, throw you at the jury, and your reputation alone would be enough to convict you. But the way it is now, see, we need your confession.
But I didn't do it.
And you need your confession, too. You need it to make peace with yourself.
Lieutenant, I...
Don't fight it. Yield to it. Give way. Give in to your better impulses, to your truer nature.
Lieutenant...
Let's be friends. Hmm? Call me Barney. I'll call you Ursula.
You're trying to seduce me.
Ursula, I'm only trying to get to...
Where were you with your soft voice and gentle manner and sweet air of concern when I needed you? Oh, how I wanted someone like you. Dreamed of, prayed for someone like you.
Ursula.
Oh, that name. That ugly name. Ursula. You know what it means? A female bear. A she-bear. Oh, my Lord. How could parents name a little girl female bear?
Well, it's a pretty name.
It's an ugly name. And I'm an ugly woman.
No.
No one ever thought I was pretty. No one ever treated me as if I were pretty. And so I never became pretty.
Well, you're a handsome woman.
A big woman. Tall. Ungainly. I'm a bear of a woman.
But you have certain qualities which are really quite attractive.
You are trying to seduce me.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, please, you must believe me.
It's all right. I rather like it. This has never happened to me before. Now, I know what it is to hear a man's gentle voice when he wants something from me. Something only I can give him.
Now... I would like to set the record straight.
Don't spoil it. You see, the pretty girls get this all the time. What a man wants from them is pleasure.
Miss Underwood.
And they know it. In our hearts, we women know it. But men lie so beautifully. And for a moment, it's all so wonderful that it's worth it.
Miss Underwood, we are still at ground zero.
Nobody. How can you say that? We've made progress. What you want from me is not pleasure, but something even more important, a promotion.
Oh, now, please, Miss Underwood, please.
And because you make me feel so good, so needed, I'll help you.
You will?
Because I love you. Oh, don't worry. You have no cause for alarm. You don't have to do anything about it. You probably are happily married with half a dozen children.
Miss Underwood, maybe I'd better come back later. Huh?
Please, forgive me, Barney, for embarrassing you, but I want to be seduced. Even if it's only a figure of speech in a prison cell. Please, Barney, keep on being kind to me. Talk to me softly, sweetly, the way you did before.
Ursula, I do want to help you.
I know.
Now, I'll help you get the best possible deal.
Yes, you will.
It's a crime of passion. You see, it is an unwritten law, and it's on your side. Now, Alistair Pollister betrayed you. Now, all these years, he led you on. And then he was going to throw you out after you'd given him your youth, your whole life. Ursula, you won't even do a year in jail. Now, I know juries. Believe me.
I believe you.
Let's make it happen. Sign the confession.
Keep talking to me, Barney, please.
Well, I've said everything that's important.
Keep talking to me. Alistair Pollister never talked to me the way you do. For 15 years, I was a secretary. I was nothing to him but an instrument. At 9 a.m., good morning, Miss Underwood. And then 3 uninterrupted hours of dictation. At 12, have your lunch, Miss Underwood. At 1, let us resume, Miss Underwood. At 4, enough for the day. Never a social word. Never an idle word. He knew absolutely nothing about me. There was never a kind word. Never a harsh word. Just... Hello, goodbye. Read that back. Type that up. Here's your check.
Why did you kill him?
I didn't kill him.
Look.
But I'll tell you who did.
What?
The Shiv.
The what?
The Shiv. You know what a Shiv is? It's underworld slang for a knife.
Ursula, when the cops came in, you were standing there, and he was dead on the floor. Now, there was the knife with the blood all over it.
But you didn't find my fingerprints on that knife.
Because you had wiped them off.
Had I done that, I would have wiped off the blood, too. I tell you, the Shiv.
Who is the Shiv?
The hero of his last book.
You mean there is actually such a person as the Shiv?
Oh, yes. And he knifed Mr. Pollister to death.
Well, why didn't you say so? Why didn't you say there'd been someone else in the room?
Because...
Because... What?
Because until now, no one would believe me.
Why not?
Oh, Barney, I'm allowing myself to think you care enough to believe me. You do care, don't you?
Yeah, about the ship.
We must begin with Mr. Alistair Pollister himself. Why do men become writers?
Is that important?
Vital. Some turn to writing because of an urgent need for self-expression. Others are motivated by the need for fame. Some are inspired by the financial rewards.
Yes, well, all this may be pertinent, but we should get down to...
But none of these reasons accounted for Alistair Pollister. Do you know why he became a writer?
Because
he had an uncontrollable desire to kill.
What do you mean he had an uncontrollable desire to kill?
Oh, yes.
Did he ever actually commit...
Murder?
Yeah.
Oh, dear, Barney. Hundreds of times.
Do you realize what you're saying?
He didn't have the courage to kill real living people. Therefore, he became a writer. And that way, he could create people of his own. And he would kill them.
Yes, I see. Now, look, you had a long, hard day. Why don't I let you get some rest?
No. Don't treat me as if I were mad. I'm not. You said you'd be kind to me.
No, all right, all right.
You must understand, so you will know why and how he died. You see, he lived for murder. His only thought was to kill. His only pleasure was to destroy life.
She was his prisoner. Not just the captive of his strength, but the slave of his will. Do you have that, Miss Underwood?
Yes, sir.
She knew she should run. At the very least, scream, even beg for mercy. But she stood absolutely still, completely silent, waiting for the knife in his hand to enter her body, waiting. And then, finally, just below her breast, the flash of steel, the short, sharp, searing stab, the sudden gush of crimson, and the pain, oh, the pain! For a moment, she felt it swell, and then it stopped. For the heart, the beating heart had also stopped. It was dead. There was nothingness. From a void she had come, to a void she returned.
Mr. Pollister.
What is it, Miss Underwood?
Shall we continue?
No. Enough for the day.
Yes, sir.
Was the ship, Mr. Pollister's most notorious murderer. Surely you've read some of Mr. Pollister's books.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I get enough violence and murder on the job. I don't need any for refreshment. The ship, okay. He's this character in Pollister's book?
Yes.
And you say he killed Mr. Pollister?
I know he killed him.
But if he is only a character in a book, someone who exists only in a printed page, how could he?
Oh, I get it.
The Shiv must be based on a real-life character, and it's this character who murdered Pollister.
No.
What do you mean, no?
The Shiv is totally a figment of Mr. Pollister's imagination. And yet, it was the Shiv who committed the murder.
But...
Okay. Have it your way.
Oh, please don't be angry with me. If you want to solve the Pollister murder, listen to me, Barney. Listen.
Ursula, what you are telling me is impossible.
No, Barney, it's true.
A character in a book can commit murder?
Try to believe me. Trust me. I love you. The first and only love of my life. Would I lie to you?
I'm not sure I know how to handle that question. Chivalry would prompt me to say no, but... Here we are dealing with the emotional and chemical reactions that crackle between highly charged men and women. At any rate, our story has only begun, and we can withhold judgments and answers, at least till Act 2, which I shall bring you in a few moments.
Ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas. Too early to say, of course, but not too early to think if we're going to make some of our presents. And what greater satisfaction. The current Family Circle magazine has 125 such gifts. To sew or saw, to knit or nail, to bake or bottle. All easy. For a very young one, neat toys like a wooden crane that really hoists. For a her, a fringed tunic. For a him, a denim wallet. For most anyone, those always welcome food gifts. A pate, ginger sesame brittle, or Happy Days homemade tangerine liqueur. Complete directions are in this Family Circle, which also features a most useful guide to help organize our time. It shows how to assign priorities for the things we have to do so that we can also find time for the things we want to do. The November Family Circle, with the easy-to-copy flower embroidery on the cover, is now at your supermarket checkout counter. This is Jack Sterling for Family Circle, the world's largest selling woman's magazine.
And in this corner, in the pink, Larry Lund. And now, introducing his opponent, in a charcoal gray with sooty stripes, Dirty Eddie.
Now, as both men move to the center of the ring, we see Dirty Eddie, cocky, confident, harassing his opponent orally with his typical pre-fight chatter. Let's listen. It will not be a clean fight, ladies and gentlemen. Dirty Harry, the more aggressive of the two, mixes up his punches with a barrage of sulfides, hydrocarbons, and, of course, his big closer, carbon monoxide. Lungs, meanwhile, fights a more defensive battle in the hopes of simply outlasting his opponent. And now, as we await the bell, we pause for this message.
Dirty air is out to knock the breath out of you with asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and lung cancer. Don't take it lying down. Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Can a man be killed by a character in a book? A completely fictional character whose only life, if we can call it that, exists on a printed page? Before you answer that, you might pause to consider, for all we know, we, ourselves, might be fictional characters in somebody's book.
Barney, I wouldn't lie to you. I wouldn't lie.
No, not deliberately. But Ursula, how can you hope to make me believe that a fictional character can come to life and commit a murder?
Barney, I can hope for anything now. Now that I'm in love.
Look, let's put that in its place, too. And I think it's gone far enough.
Please, don't say any more.
But I have to. All right, I admit I was flirting with you. Well, after all, I was trying to soften you up to get your confession.
I know that.
Then why do you...
Why do I persist in maintaining this illusion?
Yes.
Because I have nothing else. This poor, pathetic illusion is the best I'll ever have. This ridiculous flirtation in a jail cell is as close as I'll ever come to an intimate conversation with an attractive man.
I'm sorry.
I could sign a confession saying, I plunged that knife into Polister's heart. Would you like me to do that now?
Yes.
Even if it isn't true?
Please, don't place me in that kind of position.
Then you really do care for me. A little.
Look, I'm a cop. I'm doing a job. Everybody knows you killed Polister.
How does everyone know that?
Oh, for crying out loud. There was no one else in the house. The neighbors heard you both screaming at each other.
But I said I didn't do it.
I know. Look, you were fighting about this fictional character, the Shiv.
But he's not fictional. He's real.
Wait. You said before that he
All was... I said was that he was created by Mr. Polister.
Now what am I supposed to believe? That Polister could create the type of character that can step out of the pages of his book and plunge a knife into Polister's heart? Is that what I'm supposed to believe?
Yes.
Oh, ground zero. We're not just back there, we're below there.
It's true.
Do you know what that sounds like? Do you have any idea what that sounds like?
Yes. And do you know why I have the courage to say it? To reveal to you my innermost secret. Because I love you.
Yeah.
It's true.
I think I understand. And
Maybe it'll even work for you.
What are you talking about?
Well, as if you didn't know. You're laying the foundation for an insanity defense.
Is that what you think?
Well, it figures.
All right, Barney, I'll sign a confession.
Well, now you're talking sense. And you'll feel a lot better. You'll see.
No, I won't feel better. I'll feel deceived and abandoned. You have this fantasy that I murdered Mr. Pollister, and you want me to support it by signing a confession.
Okay, Miss Underwood. You win.
Please don't leave me. Not yet. Don't let it be over just yet. Let it last a little bit longer. Look at me the way you looked at me before. Talk to me softly and hold my hand, and I'll do anything you say. Anything.
Miss Underwood.
Perhaps I can make it possible for you to find the Shiv. You see, he killed Mr. Pollister for a reason.
What reason?
Deicide.
Hmm?
It means murder of a god.
I don't understand what that means.
Deicide. I never thought about it until one morning. Instead of dictating fiction, he said to me, Mr. Pollister said to me...
I want you to take a letter to the editor of the Times Review.
Yes, Mr. Pollister.
Sir, the stupidity of your reviewer is too much to bear. Do you have that?
Yes, sir.
I am, he claims, obsessed with blood and death. Very well, I have the right to be. I was created by a god who is also seemingly obsessed with blood and death. Our entire world is based upon blood and death. Fighting, killing are inborn instincts. War is so easy, so common, so easily begun, that indeed it must be second nature. I have merely patterned my worlds after the only world I know. All I have done is stripped away the hypocrisy. I have exposed us for what we are. Have that ready for my signature sometime today. And now, let us return to chapter five. His eye fell on a mace. With one blow, he could shatter her skull. Miss Underwood?
No. Yes, sir?
You seem to be in a trance.
I'm sorry.
I shall repeat. His eye fell on a mace.
I'm sorry, Mr. Forrester. I don't know what I was thinking of.
I thought, with one blow, I can shatter her skull.
I don't know what got into me.
Miss Underwood, please do not interrupt.
Yes.
And the brilliant blonde hair would be spattered with crimson.
I was terrified.
Of what?
Of what he had written in that letter to the editor.
Why?
Because I've never looked at it that way before.
What way?
Till then, it had just been dictation. It had meant nothing, just words, and I was putting them down, typing them up.
Well, I still don't follow.
For the first time, I realized that these were real people.
What do you mean, real people? These are just characters in books.
No. They live.
Yeah. Well, I...
You think I'm crazy?
Well, you talk this way to a jury and you'll have it licked.
Suddenly, they were more than just words on a printed page. They were really human. They had... There's a word. Presence. You're going to laugh at me. Don't. Please, not you. Don't you laugh at me. I couldn't stand that.
No, I'm not laughing.
He would draw them beautifully. So beautifully. And then he would kill them. There was a man. A man named...
Stephen Shay. With laughing blue eyes and a flashing smile. Stephen Shay. Fleet of foot and light of heart. Singer of sweet songs. With a love for all mankind. Have you got that?
Yes, sir.
Stephen Shay. Who asked for nothing but to make another human being happy. Stephen Shay, the modern troubadour who wandered the face of the earth, whose smile dispelled the darkness. Have you got that on the page, Miss Underwood?
Yes. I've got it on the page, and I've also got it in my heart. Please, Mr. Pollister, don't kill him. I
don't believe I could stand it if you killed him.
A note to myself, put this down. He, Stephen Shea, will be the first victim of my newest character, the Shiv.
Oh!
Miss Underwood, did you hear what I said?
Are you going to kill Stephen Shea?
What an odd question. Of course I'm going to kill him.
But
what else is he good for? Yeah, to continue. Stephen Shea awoke that morning, that bright spring morning. The air, so fresh, so crisp, so clear, it crackled. Oh, God, he said, thank you for giving me such a morning. Poor Stephen Shea. How was he to know this would be the last morning of his life? Well, it's 12 o'clock. Take your break, Miss Underwood, and we'll kill him after lunch.
When I walked out of his apartment, I was in a daze. Mechanically, automatically, I made my way to the little restaurant down the street where I always took my meals. I sat down at my usual quiet, out-of-the-way small table. I sat there in silence. Fortunately, the waiter was too busy to bother with me. I don't know what I could have said to him. I knew the tears were streaming quietly down my face. And then I became aware of someone. Of two flashing blue eyes and a bright smile. I looked into his face and I knew. This was Stephen Shea, the singer of sweet songs. He was there at the table with me.
Please, save me. Don't let me die.
Save you? How?
I don't want to die. Why should I die? Have I ever harmed anyone? He's going to kill me.
I know.
Can't you help me?
What can I do? It's his will. It's God's will.
But you're also divine.
Who is?
You are. You're a goddess. You helped make me. You put flesh on my bones, blood in my veins, thoughts in my head.
But they belong to him. That flesh, those thoughts.
But you placed it all on the paper. You are the handmaiden to God. You are also divine.
He won't listen to me.
I beg you. I don't want to die. Please save me. I'll worship you forever. Promise.
I'll try. And so I was determined to save him.
Now look, Ursula. I want you to consider, very seriously, the idea of seeing a psychiatrist, you know?
Don't, Bonnie. Don't treat me as if I were mad. Just be kind and patient and sweet. I told him I would save him, but how? How could I keep the Shiv from killing Stephen Shea? What could I do?
These things that you're saying, now, they're not really helping you. You'll be shut up in an asylum for the rest of your life. Now, you're better off with the crime of passion, even self-defense. The jury has to be on your side.
You don't believe a word I'm saying.
Characters who come off a printed page.
But suppose you can meet them, see them, talk to them yourself.
Oh, that is impossible.
Stephen Shea is gone, fled. I don't know where he is. But the Shiv...
What about the Shiv?
He's here.
Here? Where?
Nearby, at hand. Waiting for me to call.
Okay, then we're out of the woods. Now, if you can produce him, the Shiv, you'd better do it.
I will.
All right, now we're getting somewhere. We're at that point where you've got to put the money on the table or walk away from the game. However, don't you walk away, because it's a brand new game that we have for you in Act 3, which will happen here in just a few moments.
I'm Debbie Reynolds. As an actress, I've come to know a lot of fashion stylists, people who dress me for my shows and movies. But I'm here at Singer at the world's biggest sewing machine sale with a completely different kind. The Stylist Sewing Machine by Singer. It'll help you sew fabulous clothes. It has a free arm for sewing hard-to-reach places, a built-in four-step buttonholer, and much more for only $199.95. That's $80 off the regular price at the world's biggest sewing machine sale. The sale only Singer could have on machines only Singer could make.
But I got a road to rip up, too. So I take Bronchaid tablets. They help keep my occasional asthma attacks away for hours. I took Primatene tablets, and they work. But then I heard about Bronchaid. Bronchaid's got something extra to help me get rid of congestion. Bronchaid helps me breathe easy for hours. It works almost as hard as I do.
Bronchaid tablets do more to let you breathe easier. Use only as directed.
The most important people since people first began are children, 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 for the child is father of the man. The baby is our future, the mice went to Japan. So care about the children, for the child is father of the man. The future of the world depends on what the children do.
Song to UNICEF. The Tucson Boys Choir gave their talents. To learn what you can give, call your local UNICEF committee or write UNICEF, United Nations, New York.
The child is father of the
speak of the characters in books as fictional, which means they aren't real. But is that really true? Haven't so many fictional characters assumed a reality far more meaningful than most of our so-called flesh and blood people? Hamlet, Huck Finn, Don Quixote, Heidi. Haven't they been around longer, created more of an impact than anyone alive today? What is real? And what is fiction? What endures and what disappears?
You said you could produce the Shiv.
Yes.
Well, when?
He will come to me when I need him.
Look, for the sake of argument, let's say he exists. Why should he come forward?
Why? Because he worships me.
He worships you? Huh? This I wasn't ready for. Why should he worship you?
Because I made him. I created him.
Ah, now, hold on. Hold on. Wasn't Pollister the maker, the creator?
Yes. For 15 years, Alistair Pollister was the creator. But not for the last book. In the end, I became the creator.
You?
Yes. You see, I was afraid of all the evil Mr. Pollister was unleashing on the world.
But all he was doing was just writing books.
No, he was creating people. You must understand, people. Stephen Shea was a person, a wonderful human being. I had to save him, and so I tried the only way I knew how.
Good morning, Miss Underwood. I believe we begin with Chapter 7, title, Introducing the Shiv. It would be accurate to describe the raw material that went into the making of the Shiv as pure, undiluted evil. As some men worship gold, he worshiped death. As some men lusted after women, he lusted for blood. Killing was all that mattered. He was a machine. A merciless, remorseless, relentless machine.
Mr. Pollister.
Yes, yes, what is it?
I know you don't like to be interrupted, but is that right?
It's what right?
Well, can any person ever be completely evil? Shouldn't there be one redeeming feature?
Who says so?
I would imagine...
Miss Underwood, sloppy sentimentalism does not change the basic facts of life. Or death. The Shiv did not know Stephen Shea. Didn't matter. The street was deserted. Shea had a throat. The Shiv had a knife. There was no flare of anger, no thrill of excitement. Before Stephen Shea was even aware of him, the razor-sharp blade of the knife had already severed his jugular.
Then the Shiv did kill Stephen Shea?
No.
Well, how can you say no? That's what Pollister dictated.
He may have dictated it, but I didn't write it. I wrote something else.
Something else?
Yes. I created a different character.
How could you?
I gave the Shiv another dimension. Oh, he was still a killer. But I gave him the ability to feel pity.
But how?
What Mr. Pollister dictated was one thing. What I typed up was something else. The Shiv had a knife. Before Stephen Shea was even aware of the killer, the blade was ready to enter the jugular. And Stephen Shea suddenly saw death. He said quietly to the Shiv, "Why? Why do you want to kill me?" And the Shiv, who had spilled blood a dozen times, was brought up short. "Why?" And quietly, he turned and walked away. As silently, as quickly as he had appeared. And as he walked, he kept saying to himself, "Why? Why?"
So, what you're saying is you rewrote the story Pollister was dictating, is that it?
Yes. And that's how I became the creator. I became God. At least for the Shiv. Because that night I was asleep, and suddenly I was awake. I don't know why. I thought I heard a voice calling to me.
What kind of voice?
I didn't know at the time. I felt someone wanted me, needed me. So I got out of bed. I dressed. I went out. I followed the voice. The way a plane follows a beam of radar. I came to a hotel. It was actually one of those cheap rooming houses. I followed the voice to a room. I opened the door. He was there. In a small, shabby, furnished room.
Who was?
The Shiv. He was on his knees. He was praying.
"Please, my God, come to me. Show yourself to me. Tell me what I have done. Please. You. You're here.
You called to me.
Help me. I've killed a dozen human beings. None of it ever bothered me until tonight. Suddenly, I felt such a terrible wave of sorrow. Why? Why do I feel it? I never thought I was doing anything wrong. I only felt I was following the orders of my God. I was, wasn't I?"
"Yes, but you see, two gods were struggling for your soul. And now, you have a new master, a new creator. Do you feel it?"
"Yes. Now, I feel it."
"Not a god of death, but a god of life. Not a god of darkness and hatred, but a god of mercy and light."
"Yes."
"Will you serve this god?"
"Yes, I will serve this god and fight for this god."
"I give you my blessing."
"So now you're the god, the goddess or whatever it is to the Shiv?"
"Yes, you must believe it."
"And where is Pollister while all this is going on now? Now, here you are, rewriting everything he dictates. Now, sooner or later, he has to catch on, right?"
"Yes. The piper would have to be paid, eventually. He never bothered reading what I typed. He assumed I'd gotten it word for word. I usually did. And he would have me deliver it to the publisher. Later, when the galleys were sent to us, it was my job to proofread and correct. So once he had dictated the words, he saw nothing in print until the book was published. Well, finally, the Shiv was published and released. I was in the office when he read the reviews."
"The Shiv. The most complex character Alistair Pollister has ever created. Poppycock. The Shiv is the most simple, uncomplicated. What, though? What do they say in the Times? Do you have it over there, Miss Underwood?" "Oh, thank you. Just as we expect the Shiv to murder Stephen Shea, Stephen looks the would-be murderer in the eye and says, why. Why do you want to kill me? And we feel a sudden chill because it has the same force as another question asked so many years ago. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This man is a fool. I never wrote anything like that. Miss Underwood, hand me a copy of the book.
He opened the book and began to read. I could see an entire parade of emotions move across his face. First amazement, then puzzlement, then confusion.
Well, I'll sue that publisher. I'll have the shirt off his back. How dare he? This is not the manuscript you delivered. This is not the galley proofs you corrected. Hand me the carbon of your final draft.
Mr. Pollister, they published the manuscript that was delivered.
I'll have them recall every last cup. What did you say?
What is contained in the book you now hold in your hand is the manuscript that was delivered.
Miss Underwood, have you finally taken leave of all your senses? How could such a manuscript be delivered? I never dictated this nonsense.
It's true. You didn't dictate it. But I typed it.
You typed it?
Yes, sir.
You typed it?
I simply had to save Stephen Shea's life. And I had to give some humanity to the ship.
You had to... You rewrote my book. How dare you presume?
I dare presume anything. I am also a god.
Leave this house, this moment.
Don't you dare shout at me. I'm your equal. I'm more than your equal. I'm your superior, because both of us are gods. Both of us created a character. Both of us gave him life. And he chose me. The Shiv chose me. The Shiv worships me.
You rewrote my book, you frustrated, dried-up old maid.
Blasphemy.
You ugly, neurotic spinster.
How dare you? How dare you insult me? Shiv, teach him respect. Teach him, Shiv.
Are you crazy? No.
No! I didn't mean for the Shiv to kill Mr. Pollister. I only meant for him to teach Mr. Pollister a lesson. But you see, I had forgotten how much violence there is in man. It always slumbers underneath, ready to be awakened. Do you understand, Barney?
Yeah, I understand.
He's so much like all of us, the Shiv. He has his thin veneer of morality, but all the time, surging inside is violence, raging, mindless violence.
Yes, well...
And now, do you believe me when I tell you that it was the Shiv who killed Mr. Pollister?
Miss Underwood, let me tell you what I think.
Miss Underwood? Why do you call me Miss Underwood?
For 15 years, day in, day out...
We're not Miss Underwood and Lieutenant Chesterkovich. You and I... We're Barney and Ursula.
You have been listening to a never-ending story of death and murder and violence.
We're lovers.
And so I guess I have to say it's gotten to you. A psychiatrist would have a lot of technical terms for it. But Miss Underwood, you have flipped.
Miss Underwood? It's over. The sweetness is gone from your voice. The soft, gentle light no longer shines in your eyes.
Miss Underwood, you deliberately choose to misunderstand.
And so you use me and cast me aside as if I were some ordinary woman. But I do not choose to let you go.
You've had a very trying day.
I am a creator. I am God. I have chosen you. You will stay by my side always. You will remind me constantly that I am a woman. You will love me.
Look, I have to be going.
No, you can't leave me. Shiv. Shiv. Make him stay.
Miss Underwood, you... What's the matter? Look, don't try that.
Make him stay.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
Make him stay.
Go!
Miss Underwood? I'm Sergeant Joe Maselli.
I didn't do it.
We know what happened. Now, for some reason, you started a fight with Lieutenant Chesterkovich, and you managed to grab the gun from his holster, and you...
I didn't do it.
And you shot him. Now, look, I'll
you have to do is sign this statement.
I didn't do it.
Look, maybe you felt threatened. You might have lost your head. We know you're frightened and confused.
I didn't do it.
Ursula. Let me call you Ursula. And you should call me Joe. We should be friends because we can help each other. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
You're a very unusual woman and...
I understand.
Hmm?
You're trying to seduce me.
Oh, no. I'm only...
It's all right, I don't mind. Don't spoil it, please. Be kind to me. Be gentle, be sweet. I'll tell you who killed Barney Chestakovich and why.
They better get wise to that lady before she kills off the entire police force. Oh, but wait. Why did I say before she kills? After all, isn't it possible that a gentleman named the Shiv might have been taking an active hand in the proceedings? Who is to say Ursula Underwood isn't a goddess? You have to admit, our theater is one of the few places in this world where you can have your cake and eat it. I'll be back shortly.
You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Think about that the next time you're sick. Sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Take only as directed.
Reach out and touch her. Send her the sunshiner. Reach out and touch her. Send her the sunshiner. Reach on with a gift of love from the florist of FTD.
FTD Sunshiner is an enchanting bouquet of daisies and other sunbright flowers that will bring sunshine into her day the moment she receives it. It's a sunny way of remembering birthdays, anniversaries, or any happy occasion. Your florist can send the Sunshiner almost anywhere by wire if you say, send it the FTD way.
Said, is a stage. And by this time, we accept that. We know we're all players. We know we have our parts, whatever they are. We know we have our entrances and exits. We know quite a good deal. Except what we actually don't know is the name of the show, where it's really playing, and how long it's going to run. Our cast included Tammy Grimes, Earl Hammond, Leon Janney, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
The news coming up next on KIXI. The weather outlook, fair tonight and tomorrow except for morning fog. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow night with increasing chance of rain Thursday. Highs the upper 60s tomorrow, mid-60s on Thursday, and lows about 50. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 56 degrees.
Seattle.
And the time at KIXI, 11 o'clock.
CBS News, heart attacks are being blamed for deaths of several elderly people shortly after they received swine flu vaccinations. Still, vaccination programs in 9 states and dozens of localities have been halted while further investigation is underway. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The first deaths were reported from Pittsburgh, then Oklahoma City, then Fort Lauderdale. In all cases, health authorities are saying the vaccine itself was not to blame. The deaths are coincidental, they say, and should not cause public alarm. All of the victims were elderly and had histories of heart or lung trouble. More news after this.
Today, instead of asking you to listen to the taste of stock sweet vermouth, we'd like you to taste some other sweet vermouths. Just a touch on the cloying side. That tends toward the bitter. Compare them to the perfectly balanced taste of imported stock sweet. Listen to the melodic interplay of stock's aged wine and exotic herbs. Sweet yet savory. Note its uninhibited vitality on the rocks. Adds to, but never overwhelms, mixed beverages. Listening is good. Tasting is better. So try Stock Sweet. Once you've tasted our balanced vermouth, you'll never listen to any other. Stock Sweet and Dry Vermouth, Distillery of Stock, Trieste, Italy.
In New York Tuesday night, President Ford criticized what he said were Jimmy Carter's plans for more government spending, higher taxes, and defense budget cuts. The president came to New York after telling several ethnic leaders at the White House he had made a mistake during last week's debates when he said there was no Soviet domination in Eastern Europe. Wednesday, Mr. Ford has scheduled a number of campaign appearances in and around the New York metropolitan area. Democratic vice presidential candidate Walter Mondale is reported resting and studying for his Friday night debate with Republican candidate Bob Dole. Dole is expected to do the same in the next few days, but Tuesday he was in Tennessee with an attack on Jimmy Carter. CBS News correspondent Barry Serafin reports.
In a toughly worded speech, Dole charged Jimmy Carter, among other things, with smearing President Ford, with misrepresenting his civil rights activities, and with not telling the truth about where he stands on defense cuts.
Most of us assume that when a man tells us something, he's telling us the truth. That is the glue of common trust that makes and keeps us human. And sometimes we're disappointed. And sometimes people don't tell the truth. But we don't start out by assuming a man is dishonest. So what quirk of character would make a man feel he had to protest his honesty and say over and over and over again, I will never lie to you. I will never lie to you.
Dole and Tennessee Senator Howard Baker referred to a poll to be released that they said will show President Ford within 2 points of Carter. Abe's said later it was a Gallup poll, apparently taken before the last debate. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Maryville, Tennessee.
United Auto Workers at Ford Motor Company plants across the nation have accepted a new contract with the company. The announced vote comes just 4 weeks after a UAW strike against Ford began. Union officials note that there are still some local disputes to settle, but many workers will be ready to go back to their jobs whenever the company calls them in. Despite calls from black nationalists to delay a Geneva conference on Rhodesia, the British say the meeting will start on schedule October 25th. In London, British Foreign Secretary Anthony Crosland says he's optimistic over chances for the meeting's success.
Main thing is that both sides will come to the conference at Geneva for the first time agreed on one basic principle, and that is the acceptance of majority rule. And this has never happened before. I think the both sides recognize that the alternative to reaching agreement at Geneva, the alternative of an escalation of the guerrilla war with all the complications that this would involve in southern Africa, is too horrible to contemplate. So my answer is that I can't guarantee it. Of course I can't. But I think there's a better chance of success than there ever has been before.
Now this.
The most important people.
But only you can really put life into these words. When you give to the United Nations Children's Fund, you help UNICEF provide food, medical care, and education for needy children all over the world. When you hear Trick or Treat for UNICEF this Halloween, help us help the children. Please give to UNICEF.
Diplomatic sources in Peking and Hong Kong are quoted as saying news of the purge of so-called radicals in China has been practically confirmed. It's also said far more people have been arrested than just Mao Zedong's widow and three others, as was first reported. Meanwhile, the Chinese media is calling for support for the new chairman, Hua Guofeng. David Jackson, CBS News.
KIXI, Seattle, with the time 6 minutes past 11.